This is Soulful Living on Empower Radio. Here's your host, Terry Williams.
Hey, wherever you are in the world today, I welcome you to another 30 minutes of Soulful Living here at Empower Radio. So my guest today, Alan Klein, is no stranger to Empower Radio. He's joined me here at Soulful Living, or Welcome to Blissville, and he's been a guest on some of the other shows on our network, as well as radio and TV from all over the world. We do all love Alan. That's why we bring him back, besides the fact that his first and, well, he is probably the first and only gelotologist that I know. The one thing that I agree with 100% is that laughter is good for the soul. And it's up to each of us individually really to create more joy and laughter in our own lives, right? In his latest book, You Can't Ruin My Day, he offers what he calls 52 wake-up calls to turn any situation around. If you are looking for happy, if you are looking for a spark, if you are looking for a way to change a negative thought or a not-so-empowering thought into an empowering thought, this is the book for you, and Alan is the person to connect with. So welcome back to Soulful Living, Alan.
Thank you. It is so great to be here. It's always so great to be alive.
Boy, isn't that the truth? Every day I wake up and I'm like, okay, I'm still here and breathing.
Exactly, yeah. And it's another opportunity to get it right.
Right.
To have fun.
Okay,
to
so
be
before
joyous.
We get into the book, I really want to give the listeners a little bit of insight into your background, and I also would like for you to briefly explain what the initials in LAFF mean to you.
Okay, so you want to go first, or
should
I go first?
You go first. Let me hear a little bit about your history.
Okay, so I used to work for CBS television. I was a scenic designer, and I did shows like Jackie Gleason, Merv Griffin. The main show that I had to design for 10 years, and I think got me into the joyous, happy, looking through the world through my childlike eyes was Captain Kangaroo. I don't know if you remember that show, Terry. You're probably...
Oh, my God. I totally do. And I can see him with his little white mustache and his amazing captain suit.
Right. So if you remember, Bunny Rabbit would try to trick Mr. Green Jeans into giving him a carrot by inventing this machine that produced carrots, I was the one that had to design that.
So oh my gosh, that's awesome.
And so it got me into thinking, how would a child do this? You know, they might take a cardboard box, they might take a strainer from the kitchen, they might take a rock or two to make the knobs. And so I would have to look through the world through childlike eyes, and I think that remained with me after working for Captain Kangaroo. So then I left New York City. I moved to California because my wife was from there. And what happened was she got a rare liver disease, primary biliary cirrhosis. There was no liver transplants at the time, and she did pass away 3 years after the diagnosis.
Wow.
And, you know, of course, Terry, was a very difficult time. We had a 10-year-old daughter at the time. But Ellen had a great sense of humor and continued to use it. You know, lots of tears, but also there was a lot of laughter during those 3 years. So one example I have in my book, and I want to share with your audience, is Ellen had a copy of Playgirl magazine with male nude centerfold, and she said, "Ellen, I really like this picture this month. Can you put on the wall by the bed in the hospital. And I said, Ellen, it's a little risque for that. You know, maybe maybe you want to cover up, you know, that part with a leaf. And we did that, and the leaf starts shriveling up. And we would look at it, you know, every day the leaf smaller and smaller, and we would start smiling. And I realized at that time, or a little later, that the laughter was not a lot of laughter. It was just, you know, 10, 15 seconds. But during that time, it helped us forget about what we're going through, lifted us up, gave us a reprieve. And so I realized it was Norman Cousins' time. He was talking about the power of humor. I realized how important humor was, even in death and dying and grieving situations. But nobody was talking about that or writing about it. And so I went back to school to get a master's degree in human, H-U-M-A-N, development. And my thesis was The Healing Power of Humor, which turned into my first book.
Right. And that's amazing. And, you know, it's so true. Like, I think about my father's funeral. You know, he's been dead for 20 years, and he was one that really was a believer that you can change how you think about things. You can change the tone of your day. His favorite response when anybody asked him how he was doing was pretty good shape for the shape I'm in. But I remember we were all sitting around kind of telling jokes and laughing, and a few of the people that knew him were a little bit surprised that we were here at this funeral with laughter. And to me, humor and laughter is one of the best mechanisms to get through that process of grief and loss and suffering, and attach you to the greatness that life really offers.
Right. And tears, by the way, tears and laughter are very close. And often, I mean, just give you an example. Often you laugh so much, what happens? You have tears flowing down your face.
Right.
Yeah. And
absolutely.
You know, and there's been scientific studies for the tears you have when you're cutting an onion have no toxins in them. But when you laugh heartily and you have tears, or when you're dying from emotion, those have toxins. So they're clearing those out of your body. So they're healthy.
Absolutely. And helping you release all of that yucky stuff in there, and any way we can get rid of it works, right?
Right.
So in the book, you talk about your story and kind of the backstory about a speeding ticket. Can you share that with the listeners?
Right. Well, that's how my new book, not The Healing Power of Humor, but The You Can't Ruin My Day, came about. It was a Saturday morning. I was going to the gym. I was real happy. I just saw the Broadway show, Billy Elliot. I had that playing in my tape deck, and I'm going through a tunnel, and one side of the tunnel is 35 miles an hour. When you get out, it's 25, and I didn't see the sign. I'm singing, I'm happy, and I'm being pulled over for a ticket. And I get to the gym, and I'm telling people I just got a ticket, and I'm still singing, I'm still happy, and they're going, Alan, you just got a speeding ticket. How come you are so happy? And out of my mouth, Terry, came, I'm not going to let that policeman or that ticket ruin my day.
Mm-hmm.
And I realized how often, why the book was needed, how often we give our power away to other people, or other situations, and we do not have to let that ruin our day. So that's how that book.
Well, and you share different stories, and I actually love the number 52. Because, you know, you can use it as a weekly guide to kind of change the way you're going to show up for that week. But you talk about stories. I mean, each chapter, each section, each, you know, one of the 52 pieces has a little bit of insight and a story attached to it. And when you were talking about your story, one of the quotes that I remember reading was, "The ability to see our lives as stories and share those stories with others is at the core of what it means to be human." And I think it was by John Caprice and Timothy Cage, I'm not sure 100%, but it's full of stories, and that's what life is all about. And anytime we have the opportunity to change how our story is going to show up. And you shared one particular experience that a yoga teacher had after the loss of his partner.
Yes.
Where he, you know, talked about how he heard himself telling the same stories and that it was up to him to really define himself through letting go of that struggle and create a new story for his life.
Right. And we can, you know, I guess the basic premise of the book is that there is no inherent meaning in anything that happens to us, that we put a meaning on things.
Mm-hmm.
Even in loss, you know, we put that meaning. We can look at loss as this is the most terrible thing that ever happened to me, or we could look at it as, what did I learn from that person? What happy times do we celebrate together? You know, mm-hmm. How could I honor? We can celebrate that life lived rather than for the life lost.
Mm-hmm.
So, thinking about inherent meaning, there's a wonderful story in the book. It's a classic story about two shoe salesmen that were sent to this foreign country to sell shoes. And one of them sends back an email saying, I'm not going to be able to sell any shoes here. Everyone is barefoot. And the other salesman sends back an email saying, great opportunity to sell shoes. Nobody has any.
Right. What a great way to look at it.
Same situation, two different ways of seeing it.
Mm-hmm.
And so we have that opportunity. How do you, because everything you see is through your lens. How are you going to see your world? I don't care what's happening. How are you going to interpret that?
Well, and isn't that what life is really about? It's about our own perceptions and our own interpretation of what's right in front of us.
Right, right. Yeah, there's another very funny story about that. And this man, a couple were married for many years, and they had only had two arguments in their whole life. And the woman said, you know, there's a shoebox in the closet, never look in there. But the woman was on her last days, and so the man took the box, brought it to her bedside, and said, dear, maybe it's time for you to explain the shoebox. And she said, well, when we got married, my grandmother told me, whenever we have an argument, to crochet a doll, to crochet this little doll. So the man opened the box. The man saw there were only two dolls and $95,000 in cash. And
wow.
He went, dear, look, you know, there's only two dolls. I'm touched, you know, that we only had two arguments. He said, but what about $85,000? Where did that come from? She said, that came from my selling the dolls that I crocheted.
Oh, my God. Perfect. I love that.
You know, he saw it one way. She saw it two ways. The same situation.
Well, she sure found her opportunity, right?
Right, right. So it's the lens that we see the world.
Oh, my gosh. Well, and you break the book down into different chapters, different ideas. You know, you have your wake up and you have follow up. So give us an idea of something within the follow up piece that might inspire us today.
Well, one of the chapters is that intention, like how do you wake up in the morning? But I think bigger than that is your intention. This book came about because I had other books published, Random House, a division of Random House,
mm-hmm.
and they closed the door of that division. And so I tried to sell the books to other publishers, wanted them. So I stopped struggling, which is another one of the chapters in the book, stopped struggling, and I put a sign above my computer that I saw every single moment of the day, and it said, the perfect publisher will find me.
Mm.
The perfect publisher will find me. And months later, I went to a writer's meeting, and I heard to another writer, we have a great publishing company, very successful, but we're opening a new division, and we're looking for uplifting, motivational, inspirational books. And I said, I have a number of them, and I showed it to them, and they start publishing the books. So the perfect public, oh, and they were 5 blocks away from where I live.
Well, how convenient is that?
I know. So they start publishing the books, and then they got too big for the little office, so they invited me to a party, the opening party. And this woman comes up to me and said, "You don't know me. I own this company. I'm so glad you're one of our authors. I now live in London. It's why you don't know me." She said, "But I know you for 10 years.
Wow.
And I looked at her and I said, "I don't know you. How do you know me?" She said, "I watched you walk your dog every single day for 10 years because I lived across the street from you."
Oh, my gosh.
The perfect publisher for me. And that was my intention, you know, that would happen.
Wow. So that gave me chills from head to toe.
Wow.
You know, it doesn't get any more clear than that.
Right. So I invite your listeners, put something down on paper, the perfect fill-in-the-blank for you, the perfect house will find me, the perfect relationship will find me, the perfect whatever job will find me, and just look at that as much as you can every single day and see what happens.
It's so simple.
Sometimes I don't believe myself that I can create this. So January 5th of this year, I wrote on my bucket list that I wanted to do a TED Talk. That was my intention. I want to do a TED Talk.
Mm-hmm.
January 25th, 20 days later, I get an unsolicited email asking me if I would like to do a TED Talk.
Wow.
April 23rd of this year, I did the talk, and it will soon be on YouTube.
Well, you'll have to make sure that you send it over to us when it's up, and we will help spread the word, help spread the laughter and the joy. Well, speaking of laughter and joy, I really want you to share with the listeners what the word laugh means to you.
Oh, right. You asked me to do that.
You know what? I'm kind of relentless. I don't give up on things that I know have the power to change people's lives. And I really love how you present the word laugh. And I think that it's something that all of the listeners will benefit from as well.
Oh, glad you reminded me. So first letter, L. L is for let go. Because if you're holding on to anything, if you're angry, frustrated, upset about anything, you cannot laugh about it. So L is for let go. And one of the quickest ways that I know of letting go of things, in the workshops we do it in a very fun way, is think about something you want to let go of and then blow that into a balloon and then release the balloon and watch that just, you know, go around the room. It's just a kind of a playful way to remind yourself, you know, that you can let go of stuff.
Mm-hmm. So, I thought it was amazing. I loved that.
And if you're open to doing this with me, Terry, I can do a process with you quickly. Is think about some little thing that upsets you, annoys you, irritates you.
Do I have to say it out loud?
It would be good if you could.
Okay, let me see.
Something small. It doesn't have to be big.
Pardon?
It doesn't have to be big. Small would be okay.
Okay, it bothers me when my neighbor blocks me in my driveway.
Okay, and how does that make you feel when your neighbor blocks you in your driveway?
Really frustrated because I can't get to where I want to go.
Right, so it's frustrating. So what I'd like you to do is tell me, I get really frustrated when my neighbor blocks me in the driveway, but this time after you say that, you're going to say either ha-ha, ho-ho, or hee-hee.
Okay, I'm already laughing. Okay, so it really frustrates me every time my neighbor blocks me in the driveway. It's already making me laugh.
Exactly. Just even thinking about saying host. So you start, you know, your neighbor's still there. It's not going to get the car moving, but you don't have to get so close. Again, you have that power. And just even saying, ha, 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 he, he, can help you do that.
First, that is so cool. Okay, so what about A?
A is attitude. And we were just talking about that. We have the power to change your attitude towards anything.
Mm-hmm.
So you can
yeah,
be
sure
in a traffic jam.
And you have 52 ways to do that.
Yeah. And you can be in a traffic jam, and, you know, one person could be very upset that, you know, I'm always in a traffic jam. This is awful. And the other person could be going, oh, I'm so glad in a traffic jam. I didn't want to go to that meeting anyhow. Now I'm going to be late and have a good excuse.
Exactly.
Attitude. You, I cheated a little here. And you is Y-O-U, that you're the only one that can let go. You're the only one that can change your attitude. So you need to do it. G is go do it. And that's where I turn to the Healing Power of Human book, because there's 14 techniques of how to go do it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, one of them is have a funny picture around, or have bubbles around, a toy around that you can look at and play with. Or I have a photo of my daughter with a cream pie in her face when she was a young teenager, because she wanted that all her life. And I look at that and it lifts me up. So go do it. Go find things that will lift you up. And H is open your humor, eyes, and ears, because there is humor all around. One example, Terry. I was in a laundromat and there was a sign on the wall. And it said, when the machine stops, remove all your clothing.
Did you take your clothes off?
I removed all my clothing, yes. So L-A-U-G-H. Just have to remember that one word.
That's a good one. I love that. I really love, I love how you have broken it down and that you give insight for each letter. You know, you let go, change your attitude. It's up to you to do both. It's really up to you to go and do it and to find the humor in everything, right?
Exactly. Easy. It's easy. Don't make it hard. Stop struggling.
Well, and I think that that's really a valid point, because so much of life is complicated, or we perceive it to be complicated. We perceive it to be a difficult process. And the reality is we can choose to make it really simple.
Exactly. Yep. And people don't often see that.
No, they definitely don't. Okay. So,
yeah.
You know, we have just a few minutes left here, and I want to remind the listeners that we're chatting with Alan Klein. I'm chatting with Alan Klein, and you can find all of Alan's work here at the Soulful Living page on Empower Radio. One of the things that we really talked about was, you can't ruin my day. 52 wake-up calls, right, to change it all and make a difference in your life, to turn it all around. 52 wake-up calls to turn it all around. You can find Alan's books titles. You can find his YouTubes. You can find where he's going to be speaking again. You know, just before the show, we talked about that at one point he was here in Southfield, Michigan. Maybe you'll come back one day. That would be really groovy.
Uh-huh.
In the meantime, you know, I'd like to know one story that we can leave the listeners with that you think will make a difference and empower them. Help them change where they're at right now.
Well, for me, a lot of people have a hard time finding humor in their life.
Mm-hmm.
For me, it would be to have a reminder around. So one of the things that I do in all my works is everybody gets a red clown nose. So
mm-hmm.
I would advise the listeners, go to a clown or a magic shop, but get, or there's been Red Clown Nose Day recently all over the country. Get yourself a red clown nose. Carry it with you. And whenever you get into a situation that annoys you or stresses you out, like your neighbor's car in the driveway, put that nose on. Put that nose on and look in the mirror. And I can almost guarantee you're going to at least start to smile, and some of that stress will just go out the window.
You know what I really love about that is that you bring it back to you, right? So you put the nose on yourself, you look in the mirror, and you see yourself in that humorous place.
Right. You're not, you know, because that's all you're the one again. It helps you look through your eyes, through your lens, in a different way. You've
absolutely
got to do it.
And really internalize it for who you are and find that humor in yourself. Well, I can't thank you enough for being here today and sharing your wisdom and your humor and your laughter. And I'm so thrilled that you brought the book out. I know you have many other books online that the readers and the listeners can grab, but this one really spoke to me. I love that each chapter, each part had something significant that could help lighten us all up. And that's really, really where it starts, right? With lightening up ourselves. So thank you, Alan. I offer you a deep bow and come on back and share your joy.
I will. I appreciate being on your show again. Thank you.